It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
And we're back, better than ever. The First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show, Season 11. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined in studio by my go-to man, Beck Haynes, once again. Beck, we're excited to be back. Feels like it's been forever since we've been on the air.
It's been 6 months, BC, and we got a lot to talk about. We've been to a lot of practices, a lot of scrimmages, looked at a lot of stats, and I couldn't probably repeat half of them, but we excited for the show. Lots to talk about. Skip's coming on later.
Yeah, Skip Holtz will join us a little after 7 o'clock tonight. Originally Boston Scott, former Tech running back, current New Orleans Saints running back, was scheduled to join us at 6:15. He's going to have to reschedule. Had some training camp conflict come up that he didn't realize that he was going to have to do tonight. So
I mean, he's a rookie, man. It's his first time through the training camp stuff.
That's right.
We got to cut him some slack.
That's right. So a good friend of ours, Sutton Davidson, he'll join us in the next segment. We'll take a look back at some of our outrageous predictions that we made before the 2017 season. Really take a look really at the overall view of Conference USA. But I'm just really excited. It's football season. Week zero starts up Saturday night. I know we're really excited to watch Hawaii and Colorado State, one of the bigger matchups in week zero. Actually, it can't be more than five games,
right,
that will be played. And then a week from Saturday, Louisiana Tech gets their season going. September the 1st in Mobile against South Alabama. Like you said, we've been to a lot of practices. We've seen Louisiana Tech has taken two scrimmages each of the past two Saturdays. So a ton to get to tonight as we really, college football's here. We really get the opportunity to preview the season and get things going and get it rolling in the right direction.
Right. I mean, I've been literally watching the CFL just because I'm dying for some football.
Johnny Football.
I mean, well, it was a short-lived so far for him as he got a nice little pop in his second game with the Alouettes. And so, but anyways, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. There's been a lot going on. Ben, you have been just grinding, my friend. I have never seen just the passion in somebody's eyes before like I've seen it in yours this offseason. So we are excited to see what you have to say about this football team.
Yeah, and real quick, before we get into football, I think we wanted to take a little minute to rewind back to, the last time we were on the air right after signing day. Louisiana Tech obviously pulled in a really nice 2018 recruiting class. You look at the men's basketball season, women's basketball season, not banner years for either the men or the women's program. I think both Eric Conkle and Brooke Storer will tell you that. Two coaches that are really looking to improve their squads as we head into 2018-2019, compete for conference championships. You talk about Lane Burroughs' baseball squad winning 39 games. I think the baseball program is in a really, really good spot. They really only lose Dalton Skelton as we head into the 2019 season. So, while those sports didn't exactly finish up how we thought they might, I would say the future is bright for all three of them.
Right, like you said, we're only losing Skelton at shortstop as a senior, picked up a few JUCO bats. So, just the guys that I know on the team, they're looking forward to this year. They're excited. They're optimistic and believe they can outplay the way they did last year. And then also, golf, Ben.
Yeah, winning conference championships.
That's big time.
Yeah, I think, overall, soccer started up last week. I know volleyball is about to get started as well. Certainly a busy time on Louisiana Tech's campus. Just going back to that 2018 class, the recruiting class for Skip Holtz that we mentioned, some breaking news here Friday morning afternoon, really the prize recruit of that class, wide receiver Maurice Wren, originally was committed to Arkansas, makes his decision to step away from the Tech program. I think it really, you know, caught a lot of us off guard. Just, you know, it only been 2 or 3 weeks into fall camp. Then you go to yesterday, 2017 signee redshirt freshman Elijah Walker, quarterback, had a really outstanding spring game. I know you and I came away very impressed with what he had done. We thought he could really, you know, if not push for the – or definitely push for the backup quarterback job, maybe even compete for the starting job, having a strong fall camp. You know, the 2018 signee Aaron Allen, three-star out of Missouri City, Texas, had a really strong fall camp. And I think Walker really saw the writing on the wall that it was going to be tough for him to see playing time in future years. But, you know, you talk about transferring across college football, not just at Louisiana Tech. We've seen it at LSU in the past couple weeks with two quarterbacks transferring out. I think I saw Memphis had a quarterback transfer out as well. You know, not looking at the Wren transfer in particular, but overall, I can understand a quarterback transferring a little bit more, a little bit quicker, I would say, than really any other position.
Yeah, you and I talked about that before the show. It's just, you know, it's easy to see. Like you said, Walker saw the writing on the wall. He got the only way to say it is got beat out by Aaron Allen, just seeing that he was a little further along. And I get it. The kids, they want to play. They work hard. They want to play. And knowing that, hey, I'm third. I'm maybe fourth string. I'm gonna go to a smaller school that I can play at. So, and everything, you know, all the people we heard from, all the coaches we talked to, that was a pretty clean break for Walker, and they all wished him well, and seems like he did it in a way that was honorable. And so from that standpoint, I think we were impressed, and everybody that we've talked to really genuinely does wish Walker well and hope he's successful in the JUCO.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you look at Walker, he's going to go to Trinity Valley Community College, really an opportunity for him to reset his career, get back on the radar. You know, you look at, I think he was the number 56th ranked quarterback in the country coming out of high school. I think he had over 60 touchdowns his senior year. So he has some talent.
We saw flashes of greatness at the spring game last year. You and I were, you know, right in line with that 50-yard throw that he made, and I mean, it was great.
He'll certainly end up on his.
He can play. He's got skills, so we're wishing him.
Yeah, and just to talk a little bit more about Maurice Wren, if you go back to, you know, you look at Wren's recruitment, he was originally committed to Arkansas under Brett Bielema. He was committed to the Razorbacks to play defensive end before, you know, Bielema was let go from the Hogs program, and then Wren opened his options up. Louisiana Tech comes into the picture, having two of Wren's teammates committed in B.J. Williamson and Broderick Calhoun, two guys that have really impressed in fall camp. Wren ends up committing to Tech on December the 10th. He ends up signing on, I think it was December the 20th, as we were on the way to the bowl game against SMU. And, you know, he got to Louisiana Tech. You look at his fall camp he had, he missed 8 of the first 11 practices. A guy that had 23 Division I offers coming out of high school. I think he got a little bit discouraged, really wondering where his place was in this program. And, you know, ultimately, I would say a little bit of his ego got in the way, and he ends up stepping away from the program. But, you know, the way I always look at it, if a kid doesn't want to be here, then obviously, you know, he might as well take his talents elsewhere. And I think that's what ultimately happened with Wren and his transfer.
Right, and as a coach, you got to deal with all those locker room problems, and guys, you know, you got to get them to work hard and get their egos to come down a little bit. And so, you know, for Wren, you know, that may end up being a good thing for the Bulldog locker room, and, you know, wish him well as he moves on as well.
Absolutely. And just looking a brief look at the 2019 recruiting class, obviously, BleedTechBlue.com. We cover Louisiana Tech recruiting on the daily. You know, I had a recruiting update, I believe it was yesterday, just speaking to a few recruits, looking at a few of Tech's needs. Obviously, I think Tech will look to add a quarterback in the 2019 class now that Walker has taken a step away from the program. Currently, when you look at you know, Tech's recruiting class right now, they have 11 total commitments. Rivals.com has Tech as the number two team in Conference USA behind North Texas. But if you look at it purely from a star perspective, Tech has the highest average rating from a star perspective. So Skip Holtz and his staff are really putting the lockdown in another impressive class.
Right. Another note to mention, too, is Connor Taylor, the linebacker that we got. Was that
in 2018?
Yeah, in 2018. Class. I've just heard extremely positive things from players and coaches just about his leadership. And so this is a year that we'll really get to see him contribute to the defense, which we could talk forever about that defense, and we will.
Yeah, we will.
So just like you said, I think the coaching staff is really finding their groove in recruiting. And I mean, that's, as we've been involved in that, I mean, I've just seen you get extremely excited numerous times about who Tech's pulling in. So it's encouraging for sure.
Yeah, and you look at some other names that are currently committed to Tech, 6 3-star recruits out of 11 recruits. Two kickers are committed to the program. You look at Jacob Barnes. If the Barnes last name does ring a bell, he is the brother of former Tech kicker Jonathan Barnes. We saw Jonathan kick for 4 years at Tech. I think he holds virtually every Tech kicking record. And I've heard Barnes speak on his brother numerous times. He thinks he's going to end up being a better kicker than he was. So that's a big grab. And then you look at another kicker that Tech has brought in, Garen Boniol. If that last name rings a bell, that his dad was a former Tech kicker, also kicked in the NFL, Chris Boniol. So this class is really impressive. You look at Kyle Maxwell out of Amite High School, commits to Tech last week. Maxwell has offers from Tennessee, Arkansas, Memphis, plenty of Power 5 offers, a big receiver get, 6'3", 180-pound wide receiver. You look elsewhere, Kyrie Morrison, he'll play safety for the Bulldogs, another 3-star recruit out of West Feliciana. We've had the opportunity to see what that pipeline's been like over the past few years. When you talk about Jalen Ferguson, you look at Smoke Harris, Derek Turner this year.
Right, we've got a lot of boys from West Feliciana, seeing some areas that they can for sure contribute, even as true freshmen. And I mean, that's a, I know some people that are close to the West Feliciana Parish, and them boys know how to play football.
Yeah, and as this recruiting class, you know, continues to fill out, just be sure to stay tuned to BleedTechBlue.com. It's only $9.95 a month. We have the report on, you know, what Louisiana Tech's looking for down the stretch as we get closer and closer to that elusive early signing period that seems to be playing dividends, you know, really, I think, for the G5 programs and helping their ability to hold on to some guys. So we'll obviously cover recruiting throughout our 23 shows in Season 11. And I really get in more in depth as, you know, guys commit as we get closer to those signing days. And, you know, a couple other things we wanted to mention before we get to our first time out, the offseason. There was all the talk about Division I programs, FCS programs, being able to add a 10th assistant. Skip Holtz was able to hire a 10th assistant a couple weeks ago. He adds Eric Link. He was at a high school previously in, I believe it was the state of Iowa. Has spent time previously at Iowa State, has been with Auburn, so Link was brought in to coach the special teams. Former NFL All-Pro cornerback Jeff Burris was brought in February to replace Kevin Curtis, who left for Sonny Dykes' staff at SMU. I can't speak any more highly of Burris. He has done a phenomenal job. I think, you know, we always talk about Amik Robertson, we talk about Legarius Sneed, those guys at corner. This is the most impressive group of cornerbacks that I've seen at Tech in a really long time.
Right, we've been going to a bunch of practices, and those guys are just bulldogs in every sense of the word. And
bulldogs,
they just run that practice, and they're chippy, they talk, and they are confident, which is it's, I mean, we love to see that. And you know, I'm great with some chippiness in camp, and those guys, they are confident in themselves, and you're right, Burris has got those boys playing.
Yeah, and Brian Gamble was also added to the staff this offseason. He comes over, he was the defensive coordinator at Incarnate Word, played his college football back in the early 2000s for Texas A&M. He'll replace Lanier Gothy, who left for Duke. Nice promotion for Gothy, getting to an ACC program. So really, you look at the three coaches that Skip Holtz added in the offseason, you have to be impressed with those guys.
Absolutely. You getting ready to take our first break?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and take our first time out. First, we want to thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and in El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friend Zach Walthall at O'Neill Gas. Before we get to our timeout, you can always join us. You can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline. You can text us 1-888-993-7762. After the break, we'll be joined by Sutton Davison. We'll take a look back at Tech's 2017 football season and take a look ahead to the 2018 season. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. Service and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication. trust and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience, uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston West Monroe. Get on the express at Fairway Carts. The new EZ-GO Express electric hunting vehicle is coming soon, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats four and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The EZ-GO Express electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Joining us on the Fairway Carts hotline, good friend of the program, Sutton Davison. Thanks for joining us on such short notice tonight, Sutton. How you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Long time no talk. It feels good.
Yeah, we're certainly glad to have you back on the air. You know, you look at this time a year ago, me and you were sitting in this studio, and I think if we're being honest with one another, some of the predictions we made looking at that 2017 season, you know, it seemed like the team was going to be really good. Jamar Smith was coming off one exceptional start at Arkansas, but I think you and I let our homerism take the lead role a little bit too much.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. I miss you guys a lot. I know I just joked and said long time no talk, but really we talk every day. We've got a group text that we send about 200 messages a day in, and I couldn't love it
easy
anymore.
My boss is listening. Easy.
True. Sorry. Beck's not in there. He's on the grind all day, every day, Kyle. Yeah, Ben, I think you're right, man. I think, you know, and I have some stuff that I'd like to say about my prediction from last year. I feel a little bit embarrassed at the way it went down and how it ended up. You know, obviously we were a little overzealous about the way we thought the 2017-2018 season would go. And I want to call it Deshaun Watsonism. And I think you know what I mean. I think, you know, we saw Deshaun Watson play four games last year in the NFL before he went down. And don't get me wrong, he was spectacular. But now everybody's crowning Deshaun Watson as this year's MVP already without ever seeing him touch the field after his injury and, you know, beyond the four games we saw him in last year. I think a little bit of the same thing happened to us with Jamar. You know, we see him get thrown into the fire at Arkansas after Ryan Higgins misses that first game due to suspension. And then he has the game of his life. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that there was no pressure on him. You know, he felt confident in the fact that the coaches and teammates, you know, felt good with him under center, and he went and balled out and almost bought the Dogs a road upset to start the season. And I think going into 2017, we had high hopes for him. And you know, obviously this team goes the way the quarterback goes. And, you know, obviously the record indicated that. Jamar was okay. He was so-so. He had some great games. He had some not-so-great games. And ultimately we saw the Dogs finish at 6-6.
Well, and I think you look back at the 2017 season, and before that season started, I think Phil Steele had Louisiana Tech as one of the most 10 inexperienced teams in the country, which I think that experience plays a bigger role than sometimes fans are able to see. You look at Tech finishing 1-4 in games decided by a touchdown or less. And I think a lot of, you know, improving in that aspect just comes with game experience.
Oh, for sure. And you look at the guys that Tech lost going from that 2016-2017 year into last year. Those guys are playing on Sundays now, and they led the country in yards. You know, Trent Taylor, Carlos Henderson, arguably the best 1-2 punch in college football that we've seen in years. And then Ryan Higgins, you know, sleeper finisher in the top 10 as far as yards by a quarterback in NCAA that year. And you think about all the other guys we lost, not only in the O-line, but in the backfield with Kenneth Dixon and those guys. I mean, you lose all your playmakers. You throw a whole new crew out there. You really can't expect to do what we thought that team was capable of doing. And talent is one thing, but experience, like you said, is a whole other thing.
Ben, all offseason we heard, well, our record would have been, we lost how many games by, what was the points?
We won. It was 3 games by 1 point, then you lost a game in double overtime to Southern Miss that you had to lead late in the fourth
quarter. All we heard all offseason, we were 4 points or whatever away from 4 more wins, 3 more wins, whatever you want to call it. But Ben and I were talking at lunch today, like that's part of being a young team. Is, I mean, you have to complete the entire game. So, yeah, I think, you know, we came in frustrated every single week. You know, Ben, you were red in the face, and you did a monologue about how your heart was broke. And
it wasn't sunburn.
And so, I mean, we felt that. But at the same time, like, that's a young team that did put the team in position to win a lot. So, last year, terrible. This year looks like something we can potentially build on and hopefully – you know, Jamar comes out with a little more confidence and, you know, but.
Yeah, and I'll add one thing, too. You look at how this team finished, you know, winning 3 straight games. Obviously, the win against UTEP by 3 touchdowns is not that impressive considering they didn't win a game last year. But the defense limits UTSA to less than 200 total yards. Then, you know, Tech absolutely demolishes SMU in the Frisco Bowl. Certainly some high hopes headed into 2018 with Tech now being one of the 10 most experienced teams in the country. You know, what are some things that you see looking ahead to the 2018 season that really excite you?
Yeah, well, you said it. I mean, they're flipping themselves from such an inexperienced team to an experienced team. And, you know, that goes a long way. I look at a guy like Jamar Smith, who we know from watching him week in and week out, the guy is totally a head case. And sometimes in the best way. When he feels like he's got a head of confidence behind him and his teammates believe in him and his coaches believe in him, he throws one of the best balls and he manages one of the best games in the conference. Now, on the other side of that coin, when he doesn't feel that confidence and when he doesn't feel believed in, or when he has, you know, a couple bad throws an interception, it's hard for him to rally and to pick himself back up. He plays a little scared at times. He plays a little lackadaisical at times, like he doesn't really know where to go with the ball. And I think a whole year of experience last year will really set him up to have a better year this year. I've been through the schedule, and I've kind of broken down each game and what I think is going to happen.
And let's look at that. Let's look at that schedule. You look at Tech plays 7 road games in 2018. Tough road trips: 2 LSU, 2 Mississippi State, 2 Florida Atlantic. 6 of the first 9 games are on the road. You know, not one of the easier schedules, but we've talked about experience does help you. What do you see in this schedule and really how things might play out?
Yeah, well, now, granted, I'm being a little more realistic than I was last year, so bear with me. But I think the first week of the season at South Alabama could be a trap game. I feel like that's a game that we're, you know, scheduled to win. I think about a Northwestern State from a couple of years ago who came in and beat Tech. You know, and kind of took the city of Ruston by shock. And I don't want that to happen. I think the Dogs go into South Alabama and get a W. Then you look at week 2, Southern comes to town. And really the best part about that game is going to be listening to that band. I almost want to make the drive just to hear the band.
It'll be a blowout. Southern.
It'll be a blowout, big win for the Dogs. And then they get a week off to kind of prepare for what we all know will be the biggest game of the season. It'll be a Super Bowl type atmosphere for the Dogs when they go down to Baton Rouge and play LSU. And I want to sit here on this game for a second and ask you guys what you think is a realistic prediction when the Dogs take on LSU in Baton Rouge. I have it as a loss, but I think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a fun one. I think when you look at the two teams from a you know, comparing, you know, the players 1 through 85 in terms of scholarship guys, I think this is as well as Tech has matched up with LSU in a number of years, you know, maybe ever. But that said, going down to Baton Rouge's winning is no easy task. So I'm with you. I don't think Tech comes out of there with a win, you know, unless they can jump on the Tigers late. We see how things work when you go into SEC venues. If you have a touchdown late, you know, a touchdown lead late, you know, you start getting some phantom holding calls called, a phantom pass interference. I know everybody's going to mention, well, LSU lost to Troy last year. Well, for me, that's all the more reason that they're going to be ready to play the Dogs this year.
Oh, for sure. And that LSU team, I mean, has never had a quarterback, and we know it starts there. And so as long as they don't have that you know, that kill switch at quarterback, I feel okay about our chances. I think about our freshman year in 2009 when the Dogs went down to LSU and the famous Daniel Porter to Dennis Morris jump pass before halftime, you know, gave them a 13-10 lead. And we thought that the goalposts were coming down in Tiger Stadium, but obviously Tech didn't close out the game, and I think that's a common theme that we're going to have to watch is, can Tech get up early, maybe get the Tigers on their heels a little bit, and then deliver a kill blow there at the end. But I think Tech goes down to LSU and takes a tough loss, but it will be fun to watch.
What's so funny, Sutton, is about that game, I was touring LSU that weekend, and, you know, I like to say that at halftime I left and then I decided I was going to Tech because of the way the game was going. But, you know, a couple years ago we played A&M first couple games of the season. That was a close game. So I think, LSU is the third game of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe, like, what is it, Joe Burrow is the quarterback down at LSU this year. Maybe he ain't going to have it figured out by then, and maybe Tech can get up early like y'all are saying. And, you know, I think if we're going to have a chance to beat him for some reason, I feel like early in the season is a better chance than later when they're fine-tuned.
And fast forward to conference play. You look at Tech opening on the road against the West Division favorite, North Texas. Tech dropped a heartbreaker to North Texas a year ago. I have a really good feeling about this game. I think Tech's going to dominate those guys for four quarters. And it might be crazy for me to say, but I don't think North Texas is as good as their record was a year ago. Really, your thoughts on the start of conference play and into the middle part of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think North Texas is a team that we've seen improve a lot over the last couple of years. I know when we were in school at Tech, you know, in the early 2010s, that was a doormat program, and that team's come a long way, and I give that coaching staff a lot of credit for really turning it into what it is. It's a commuter school, and really I'm proud of that program and the way that they represent themselves. But I have to say, that offense is good, and the Tech defense is really going to have a tough task. So I have it marked as an L, but boy, would I love to go there and win. I don't really consider it a hostile environment, so maybe Tech has a chance. And then rolling on from there, we've got I have three wins in a row coming versus UAB in the Joe, at UTSA, and then when UTEP comes to town. I think that's a good, nice 3-0 stretch that we can look forward to. Before we go to FAU and Lane Kiffin down there in Boca Raton and probably take what I would consider an L there. Then at Mississippi State, another SEC school that Tech has had a history with, not only in football but in baseball, kind of become a big brother, little brother rivalry there. I think that's going to be a good game. Nick Fitzgerald is back, and that's always tough, but I think Tech takes the loss there. And then three wins to end the season. Rice comes to town at Southern Miss, a game that's been hard for Tech to win in the past. I think they go to Hattiesburg and get a W there. And then Western Kentucky looks to be a little bit down in the past couple of years, and I think they finish off the season well and make their fifth straight bowl appearance. So if you add it up, I'm looking at 8-4, and I think that's pretty reasonable considering the schedule. And you know, I'd like to get you guys' thoughts.
I think that's
what me and Ben agreed on. We talked about that. Yeah,
I think that's really where, you know, most people have Tech, 7-5, 8-4. I think when you look at the talent level of this team, I think they are talented enough to win 9 games. I think they are talented enough to go to FAU and win. Do I think they'll do it right now? If you ask me before seeing Tech play a game, I'll say no. Ask me, you know, when the two teams match up at the end of October, and I might have a different opinion. But overall, you know, 8-4, I think that'd be a solid regular season. If you get a win at North Texas, I know you didn't predict that, but I think you find yourself atop the West Division playing for another conference championship, which, you know, in addition to another bowl game, winning the conference championship is really the ultimate goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, those are the programs that we're looking up at, the North Texas, the Florida Atlantic, and then Marshall over there on the other side. You know, we've seen that before. We've seen Tech play Marshall for the conference title a couple years ago and come up short. It really would be fun to sneak another one against FAU or North Texas and have a chance to do that again, something that Tech hasn't done since their days back in the Western Athletic Conference.
Yeah, and really good stuff by you. And before we let you go, in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about some Bulldogs that are playing in the NFL. Tech currently has 14 players that are on NFL rosters this preseason. Who are some names that you're looking for that really might stand out in the pro game this year?
Well, there's a couple obvious ones and a couple that are a little under the radar. There's a couple that have really had a tough go at it. I know Kenneth Dixon can't really stay healthy in a crowded Ravens backfield where Alex Collins seems to have pretty much cemented the starting job there. Then you look at a guy like Buck Allen, who's a great third down option, catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. It's going to be tough for Kenneth to crack that lineup if he can't stay healthy. And then Carlos Henderson is a guy who hasn't even reported to camp yet with all kinds of personal issues. Now he's suspended week one. I think his time may be running out, and he may end up being a guy that, unfortunately, we see spiral out and really end up without a career. And then Kentrell Bryce is a guy I'm excited to watch this season. He didn't play in the last 10 games of last year after having ankle surgery and then tweaked it earlier this year, but his back was a captain already this year and looks to project as a starting safety in that young, talented Green Bay secondary. And then obviously everyone's favorite, Boston Scott, not only fan favorite at Tech, but now throughout the state of Louisiana. I'm honored to be filling his slot tonight on the radio. I think Boston's going to have a tough go at it in what's also a crowded backfield. I think he's done enough to prove that he deserves a spot on a roster. And if he does get cut by the Saints, he won't stay on their practice squad long. There's a lot of teams in this league that need some depth at running back. I think about the Washington Redskins, who've had a bunch of injuries. I look for Boston maybe to catch on at a place like that. If the Saints don't sign him, you know, Breeze loves him. He could have a chance to be Darren Sproles 2.0. You don't ever really know. And then Trent Taylor, that guy's just Mr. Consistent. He's part of a really young, talented offense that looks to be poised for a big year with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G. And then I think about a guy, Vontarius Dora, that not a lot of people knew about at Tech, and I think he's projecting to start opposite Von Miller in Denver on that talented D-line. So there's a bunch of guys to be excited about, Xavier Woods, Jellybean Ellis, those guys that we're excited about seeing that may not be as known, but really are contributors on their team. So it's going to be a good year for Bulldogs in the NFL. Ryan Allen, the three-time Super Bowl champ, or however many times he is, he's back with the Patriots, seems to be the guy for them for the long haul. So it's exciting to watch these guys on Sunday and be able to see where they came from and have that Louisiana Tech pride.
Sutton, that's good stuff. We appreciate you calling in. Real quick, you've had a big year. Number one, and most important, you captured the league fantasy football championship. Biggest fluke ever. Second, congratulations, you got engaged. Me and Ben both think now's a great time for you to ask us to be your groomsmen, so we'll give you the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both of you guys know you guys are my go-to guys, so I would love for you guys to be my groomsmen. Both of you guys have a slot on my final roster, if you will. No practice squad players, no ushers. So it's all final roster. You guys all get a jersey, so I'm excited. We'll throw Lane in there, too, and even Zach Walthall, one of our title sponsors. So we'll just have a big old BTB party in Nashville later this fall. But, yes, as far as the league goes, you guys, you know, go ahead and mail it in because I'm going for that back-to-back.
We'll get back to you on the groomsman deal. Thanks for calling in. Have a good night. We'll see you soon.
You too, boys.
We're going to take a quick timeout. After the break, we'll take a look at Louisiana Tech's 14 players that are currently on NFL rosters and take a look ahead to the 2019 NFL draft and see which Bulldogs have the best opportunity to be the next in line of a long crop of NFL players. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
This is Steve Brandon with Brennan Dodge. Our new used car supercenter is close to opening. We'll have more trucks, cars, and SUVs for you to choose from to meet any budget. Come by and see Todd Teal and check out our current specials, like a 2012 Dodge Grand Caravan for $5,900, a 14 Toyota Corolla for only $11,900, a 13 GMC Terrain SLE for only $13,900, and a 2008 Toyota Tacoma for only $15,900. These are just a few of our specials, so come by and test drive today at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud LaTeX supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. As always, you can call us, Fairway Carts Hotline, 1-888-993-7762. Thanks, Sutton Davison, for joining us in that last segment. I know you missed one. Vontarius Dora plays for the Cardinals, but we'll give you a pass.
You've been in Nashville for a while, so we'll let it fly. We'll let it slide.
Dora, you talked about Vontarius Dora, how well he's playing this preseason for the Cardinals. He had two fumble recoveries in week two against the New Orleans Saints, playing with the starters for the Cardinals. I really think he's a guy that's going to have an opportunity to, you know, maybe make a name for himself with Arizona after, you know, really, I'm not going to say struggling through his first two or three years in the league, but he was behind some tough guys, Von Miller, Shane Ray, you know, DeMarcus Ware in Denver. Now he's going to get an opportunity to showcase his talents.
Right. It's been fun just in the preseason in general to catch up with some of our former Bulldogs. I mean, we've been watching Boston. Even Dixon got a few carries last night.
Yeah, you talk about Trent Taylor.
Trent Taylor got a little tutty the other night. Yeah, Garoppolo.
He had off-season back surgery. You know, before the season got underway, his first possession back, I think he scored a 5-yard touchdown from Jimmy Garoppolo. So, hopefully, he can become a favorite. You know, maybe catch 80 to 100 balls. I don't think I'd put anything past him at this point.
I mean, it's good to see that his separation skills and his footwork is what was so dominating at Tech, is it's even providing him some space in the NFL, and it's just it's not a fluke. That dude's good.
Yeah, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Justin Ellis, Jelly Bean, as he's known.
He's been consistent.
Yeah, he's been really good. Signed a 3-year, $13.5 million extension this offseason for Oakland. He'll have the opportunity to play for John Gruden this year. I don't know if he'll go to the QB camp or not, but he'll certainly have an opportunity to plug some holes along a defensive line that, you know, features Khalil Mack, who's currently holding out. But Jelly Bean seems to be a key young piece for an Oakland Raiders team looking to make some noise in the AFC West this year.
At lunch, we were talking today about Jeff Driscoll.
He's been really good this
preseason. I don't know if you saw the first game. He had a pass that was – more lucky than good, but it was, hey, he got the job done. And you were talking about he may be battling for the backup job.
Yeah, I think he's battling for the backup job in Cincinnati behind Andy Dalton. Matt Barkley's his competition, former USC quarterback. And we were talking about how, you know, if we were Jeff Driscoll, we'd be begging to stay in Cincinnati. It just doesn't seem like Andy Dalton's that true, you know, franchise quarterback that Cincinnati's really going to hang their hat on. They have hung their hat on Marvin Lewis, though, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows what they're willing to do. And it only takes one play, and Driscoll could be in there, and he looks confident. Like, he doesn't look scared when he plays, and looks like one of those guys that could just use a few reps under his belt, and he may be able to contribute in a big way.
Now, Xavier Woods, Sutton mentioned him. He's in position to start for the Cowboys at safety this year. I know he suffered a hamstring injury.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, true. Good point.
Everybody's out with a hamstring. I pulled it walking up the steps of the studio tonight.
Well, that's not good to hear, but hopefully Woods can get back, get healthy in a hurry, be ready for the start of the regular season for the Cowboys. You know, we talk a lot about, and Sutton even mentioned it, talking about Boston Scott, Darren Sproles comparison. I'll be honest with you. I think Boston Scott has an opportunity to be a better running back than Sproles was. Sproles was more of a guy that could catch the ball out of the backfield. I think Scott, you know, has that sneaky strength.
You can't find him, and then he's past you.
Yeah, and you look at Pro Football Focus last year in college football, I think he was like the second or third ranked running back in yards after contact. So he's an extremely strong kid. You know, Boston was scheduled to join us tonight. We'll obviously have him on in the future weeks. But, you know, I think New Orleans is going to keep him around. He can help in the return game. I know he might not see a lot of time at running back, but he certainly has an opportunity to carve out a role in New Orleans.
Right. Like you said, they're going to use him all over the field. If he does get in, maybe the first four games with Mark Ingram being suspended, we may see him featured just a little bit. But also, you know, spring training camp or whatever, you know, Breeze seems to have taken a liking to him, invited him to San Diego to get some extra work in.
Yeah, and a pretty cool nugget about Boston Scott's actually living with New Orleans.
Was.
Oh, he's not living with
anymore. No, got his own place. But he got plugged in with Drew Holiday down there, so he stayed with him for a little while. So Boston's really assimilating well with the community down there. Drew likes him. Drew's been taking him under his belt. He seems to have had a really positive experience thus far as we have talked to him.
And how about we mention the ageless wonder, Tremont Williams, a former walk-on at Louisiana Tech. It seems like he's now been in the NFL for, I think it's his 12th year in the league. He's re-signed with Green Bay where it all began for him. First play of week two against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he steps in front of, I don't know who was throwing it for the Steelers, one of their backups that are pretty terrible.
Was it Rudolph?
It might have been Mason Rudolph. He steps in front for a pick six. I think Mike McCarthy had seen all he needed to see from the veteran Williams, as he seems ready to roll for the regular season. So all in all, like I said, 14 Tech players currently on NFL rosters. I think you could see, you know, 11 or 12 of those guys, probably 12 of those guys make the roster. I don't think Carlos Henderson's going to end up sticking with Denver. He has some personal issues he needs to work out. And then you look at a guy like Paul Turner up in New England, playing with Tom Brady, but we know how tough it is to break into that Belichick rotation, especially offensively.
Right. Let's look at the current roster, Ben. You got any projections on future 2018?
Yeah, and NFL we've seen graphics. It for so many years. I think it's been the last 4 or 5 years that Tech has had players drafted into the league. I think the obvious name to point out is Jalen Ferguson. I think NFL.com, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but I think they had him ranked as like the 94th ranked player for the 2019 NFL draft at this point. I think we talk a lot about how Ferguson had a down year. I know, you know, me and Mark Kramer on the post-game show, we would come in here on Tuesday, you know, always asking the question, where's Jalen Ferguson? Where's Jalen Ferguson? He has to get to the quarterback. And he ended up having 7.5 sacks. He ended up being a first-team all-conference player. I guess that's really what comes with.
It was quiet, though.
Yeah, it was.
Because he was projected, if he had a good year, he's going to be a first-round draft pick last year.
Yeah, and I think he got a third or fourth-round grade from NFL, you know, GMs, NFL evaluators, and he chose to come back for his senior season. Said he wants to be with his brothers one more year. He wants to win a conference championship, and those are the type team guys that you talk about. Coach Holtz has mentioned, Jalen's mentioned that he came to camp a year ago at 280 pounds. This year he's down to 260 pounds. I know we were at the scrimmage the other day.
He was lighting him up, blowing him up.
Yeah, he looks like a man possessed. I think he had 3 sacks. He probably had another 2 or 3 tackles for loss. I really think Ferguson has an opportunity to earn himself a lot of money in 2018.
That was what I was going to say. Just from the practices and scrimmages we've seen, just talking to players and coaches, that's the name that we keep hearing and keep just emphasizing that he's having a better year. They really expect him. Now, he's getting double-teamed every week. We know that. But maybe some help on the other side of the line will not allow that to happen, or that won't be effective. So we're hoping Jalen just has a big year and can really up his draft stock.
Yeah, and we mentioned the name Jalen. We'd be remiss if we wouldn't mention the guy that he's going against every day in practice, O'Shea Dugas, a guy that
got a little chippy today.
Yeah, he got a little chippy in practice today between the two guys, just two guys that probably are tired of pushing each other after 3 weeks of camp. But I think Dugas has an opportunity to, you know, earn his way into the NFL draft. He'll be playing left tackle for Tech this year after, you know, previously starting at left guard. 3 years for the Bulldogs. I think those two guys are obvious NFL draft picks. You know, other guys that you look at, obvious, you know, you could talk Teddy Veal. He's been so good out of the slot. He had nearly 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns last year. I'm excited to see what Teddy can do, you know, especially with Jamar being another year older, them having such good chemistry with one another.
Right, we just need some more production. Tech does more production out of the wide receivers this year. Bonnet's back, healthy, seems to be a deep threat ball. You've mentioned Hardy a few times, potentially being a big threat. So,
yeah, absolutely. So those three guys are really on our radar when you look ahead to the 2019 draft. We're going to go ahead, take our next time out. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a little bit more of an in-depth look at Tech's 2018 schedule. Maybe some things to look forward to when you look at the home games, particularly the Southern game in week two. You know, talk about Tech's Conference USA championship chances. Maybe see what Vegas has the Bulldogs rated at. But you're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall brings all kinds of fun activities to the area, and the best way to enjoy them is with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts. Whether it's tailgating at your favorite high school or college game, driving around the neighborhood with the family, or just spending time in good fall weather, an Easy Go multi-passenger vehicle is perfect. Fairway Carts has a great selection now with new 2019 models coming in. So visit the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Fairway Carts hotline's booming over here. Have a question from one of our listeners. Who are a couple, maybe two or three freshmen or sophomores that are currently on Tech's roster that have an opportunity to be all-conference guys in the future?
It's a little smoky in here, don't you think?
Yeah, it's blowing up. As always, you can join us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 1-888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. Expectations can sometimes be a little dangerous, but what are your expectations for the 2018 season? We'd love to hear from you, our listeners. So as far as freshmen, sophomores that we could see possibly projecting into all-conference players in the future, I think the one obvious name that jumps off the page would be Amik Robertson after his sensational freshman campaign.
He is my favorite person to watch in practice. He talks, he chirps, he gets in people's head, he roams that backfield like you wouldn't believe, and it is just unbelievable to watch. That is Amik all day, every day at practice, what you see on the field talking on Sundays. Saturdays. We got to see it big time at the bowl game when he was just calling for the quarterback in the corner of the end zone to throw it again. So he is going to be electric. He's going to be the leader on that defense. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and a couple other names I'd mention. You talk about Cody Russey, the center, redshirt sophomore he'll be this year. Russey had a really strong freshman season. He's really, you know, started since day one after redshirting. He has an opportunity to be a really good one. Joshua Moat out of Oak Grove, he'll be a redshirt freshman this season. Certainly vying for playing time along that offensive line. pushing some of those veteran guys up front that are probably going to make up the best offensive line that Tech's had in the Skip Holtz era, which, you know, dates back to 2013, I believe. And, you know, those three guys really stick out to me. Adrian Hardy's another name. You talked about Hardy making plays in practice, and, you know, I'm out there nearly every day. Hardy, we saw flashes of it a year ago. Then he missed five or six games with a hamstring injury. He is the former Oklahoma signee, is ready to step on up to the stage and give Jamar Smith a true weapon to go along with Teddy Veal and Rashid Bonnet.
Right, he's a guy you've been saying has been jumping over defenders and making good catches, which I felt like we struggled a little bit with last year. Just the ball almost had to be perfect, and even then it was not a guarantee. So having a guy that can get up and make plays and fight for the ball for Jamar and I think was going to be just incredibly valuable and is going to, you know, maybe get us those extra few points a game that can push us over.
So. Yeah, and let's just take a little bit deeper dive, I guess. You know, we talked about the schedule a little bit with Sutton. I think you look at last year's schedule, it was the optimal schedule. You have seven home games in Ruston. You know, you have Mississippi State coming to Ruston. Obviously, that game didn't pan out like, you know, we all thought it would. It was a heck of a crowd. You know, it just seemed like Mississippi State was a step faster, a step quicker, didn't make quite as few mistakes, end up winning that game. But fast,
it was fun early, though.
Yeah, it was. And you look to this season, I mentioned it, six of the first nine games on the road. I think that's really the telling point in this schedule. You talked about two SEC road games at LSU and Mississippi State. What do you think are maybe some advantages to playing two SEC schools in a year? Maybe a couple of disadvantages. I know Skip has spoke at length a couple of times on, you know, his thoughts on that as well.
I don't know if there's a ton of advantages. What it does give you is, I mean, it's two opportunities to shock the nation, which I don't know. I invite, you know, and I don't want to say no one expects us to attack to win those games, but I think it allows, gives us a little room to, hey, if we go play well, and I always, you know, I want to see Tech play stiffer competition. I think you grow and you learn that way.
It enhances
it. It does. And I mean, you can say that all day, and it doesn't look great on the win-loss column, but that'd be, you know, Tech goes 8-4. You say we went 8-4 with two losses were to SEC schools. It's almost like a disclaimer. But, I mean, I don't know if, you know, especially with those games being on the road and some of the toughest environments, I don't know that it's necessarily expected to win. But if you do, man, it's a bright spot on your year for sure.
Yeah, and I think Holtz has spoke to that for the most part. You don't really want to play two road games at SEC schools, but it's an opportunity for your players to sharpen their skills, to realize the level of play that they need to get to. I think when you look at future schedules, you know, I think Tech is going to Texas next year. I think Baylor's on a future schedule. I know NC State's on a future schedule. I think playing some Big 12, some ACC programs in addition to an SEC program is, you know, I'm not going to say more appealing from a fan base standpoint, because we live in the South.
Right.
You know, when we turn on the radio every day, we hear SEC, but it's always fun to play those Big 12 programs, ACC programs, and, you know, hopefully this year when Tech goes to Baton Rouge or Tech goes to Mississippi State, they can pull off an upset and, you know, really propel themselves to maybe be one of the top G5 programs in the country, which I think that Tech is trending in that direction. I think right now Tech's probably one of the 10 or 15 best G5 programs right now.
Right, and maybe you can explain to the listeners and to myself a little bit about this. I mean, is this schedule kind of a product of years of negotiation and deals with schools, and it just kind of falls on this year?
Yeah.
That we have only five home games, two of them are on the road against SEC schools?
Yeah, and I think that's what happens. When you look at last year, you talk about seven home games. Well, the opposite of that is you're going to play five home games the following year, and generally you like to have that balance of 6-6, and Tech's going to get back to that. I know Tommy McClellan feels that that's especially important, and he's going to work to put those quality schedules in place while also giving the student athletes the best, you know, opportunity to succeed. And you know, not looking at the SEC part of the schedule, looking at the schedule as a whole, you talk about, you know, four straight bowl wins. Well, we love it. You know, Tech hasn't won four bowl games in a row ever. They haven't ever done it. The program's reached heights under Skip Holtz that they've never reached. This senior class is looking to win the most games that any senior class has ever won. So if Tech doesn't win a conference championship this year and they win a fifth straight bowl game, is there a part of you that's just like, man, I love winning the bowl games, but I want to win a conference championship too. I guess the better question would be, when does bowl games take a back seat to we need to get over the hump and win the conference championship?
To me, a conference championship is more important, and let me tell you why. Because there's just so many bowl games. I mean, there's teams that were under 500 last year playing bowl games, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's just
–
it's. Not that it, I mean, it's nice and it's fun to go to. And like last year, it being in Dallas, and even a couple years ago, a Heart of Dallas Bowl. Like, that's good for Tech and Tech's alumni and to expand. I think a lot of Tech sports were in Dallas last year. So I think for a school and program standpoint, that's great. But we need a conference championship. Tech needs a conference championship. And I think players are sick of not winning it. I think
they're extremely motivated.
I mean,
for
yeah,
it.
It's a way to have a positive note on a season to win it, go to a bowl game and win it. But I think for me, I would love to see a conference championship than a bowl game win.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And then, you know, a few more of it. You know, we've been out at fall camp. We've had an opportunity to look at this roster. We talked last year, and I hate to keep going back to last year, but I just look at, you know, the microcosms of the 2017 team versus the 2018 team. And I think it's night and day. You look at that 2017 team, so inexperienced, versus the 2018 team. It's very obvious to both me and you at how much attention to detail these guys seem to be showing. Not only is there depth, but it's talented depth. There's very little drop-off from the ones to the twos. And, you know, you mentioned how good the defense was. This, I know the 2014 defense under Manny Diaz led the country in interceptions. I remember the 2011 defense that won the WAC championship under Sonny Dykes. Those were two of, you know, Tech's better defenses in recent years. But this unit has an opportunity to be really special.
Right. We've had a blast just at practice watching that. And, you know, going back to what you were just saying, like, 2016 we had big-time playmakers. 2017 we knew we were taking a step down. It was like, man, we got a lot of young guys. Hoping Tech can push that and to you know, develop those players. And this year, I'd say we're stepping back up, saying we got a lot of guys that have a lot more experience this year. Seems to be a little more intense. Seems to be a lot more fire at practice. I think last year was a lot of timid, trying to figure out what was
just
going
trying
on.
Trying to figure out what to do.
Their identity too, and you know, and Skip's, you know, implementing stuff. And Jamar needed a year to get under his belt. And so I think going from 16 to 17 was like, oh boy. And this year it's like, I'm excited. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at the offensive side of the ball, the biggest question mark is how do you replace Jared Kraft and Boston Scott? I think sometimes Jared Kraft doesn't get the credit he deserved because
they were the 1-2 punch. I mean, both of them were.
Jared Kraft is not the flashiest guy, but, you know, he was a really good running back at Louisiana Tech for 4 years. Boston Scott flashed on the scene, obviously, last year, worked his way to a sixth-round NFL draft pick. So I think running back's probably the biggest question mark. Jaquise Dancy's had a really good fall camp. I know he's been out with an injury the past few days. Israel Tucker is a redshirt sophomore who has been extremely impressive. I think if the season started tomorrow, he's taking the first snap at running back. Junior college signee Justin Henderson, big bowling ball type back, runs with extreme intensity. He's not afraid to run you over, but he can run around you as well. And then Cam McKnight has made the switch from wide receiver to running back this year to, you know, put him more in a natural position as we head into 2018 as well. So I think you'll see a lot of running back by committee, you know, at that spot. But I think there's no shortage of talent if I were speaking. And then you look at the receivers. You know, Teddy Veal was really good a year ago. Rashid Bonnet proved that he's a big play guy, a guy that could make plays down the field. He's become more consistent this year. It's just a matter if he can stay on the field or not. Alfred Smith, he's probably had, you know, him and Adrian Hardy have had the best fall camps of any of the two receivers. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the offensive line, if those first five guys stay healthy, it's going to be the best offensive line that Skip Holtz has had.
Right, I'm looking forward to being on a pick Skip's brain about some of those developments we've seen this offseason. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then real quick, before we get to a break, we'll talk about the defense. The defense is loaded. I went on Ben Mintz's show in Shreveport a couple weeks ago. There's probably, you know, 20, 22 guys that you could easily argue should be starters. And that's going to allow Blake Baker to do so many different things with the defense, play man, play zone. Bring five or six guys at a quarterback. To me, it's really going to be similar to that 2014 defense that Manny Diaz had from a pressure standpoint. They're going to be able to pressure the quarterback, Jalen Ferguson's going to be in a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and it's going to allow the likes of Amik Robertson, Daryl Lewis, Legarius Sneed to make plays on the ball when the ball is in the air, and that has an opportunity to set up some short fields for your offense.
Yeah, we were excited about Tech's defense last year. I'm more excited this year.
They just get better and
they
better.
They just get
every
better,
day.
And you just see them and, you know, going to practice and seeing those guys interact. I've said it 10 times already. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick timeout. Skip Holtz, head coach of the Bulldogs, scheduled to join us around 7:05. So we'll continue talking Louisiana Tech football. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit walpoletire.com.
Reese's fans, take your Reese's love to an outrageously caramel level with the new DQ Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Loaded with crazy delicious Reese's peanut butter cups, Reese's pieces, and peanut butter. But then it's topped off with game-changing caramel. That's outrageous. So stop in and taste all this insane caramel with the Reese's Outrageous Blizzard Treat. Only at your DQ. At participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
The average family accumulates a whole lot of stuff over the years. So whenever you need to haul it, cover it, or store it, you need to call Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales.
When I was looking for a portable building, my biggest concern was quality. My building from Ideal is the highest quality I've ever seen.
Ideal can custom build any size building to meet your exact needs. They can add shelves, windows, roll-up doors, whatever you want.
I needed a portable building that wasn't going to break my bank. When I talked to Ideal, they offered a price that couldn't be beat. Portable storage at a great price.
Ideal also specializes in custom-built carports in any size and trailers up to 16 feet.
I was looking for a place with excellent customer service. The guys over at Ideal were great to deal with and delivered right on time. Thanks, Ideal, for a great experience.
Haul it, cover it, store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, 699-9426. 699-9426.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined in studio by Beck Haynes. We'll go straight to the Fairway Cards hotline as we're joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are things going for you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Coach, me and Ben were just talking before you came on. We're talking about the difference from your 2016 team. You had some big-time playmakers. 2017, a little younger squad. Can you talk to us about this squad this year and the difference between last year and what you're excited about?
Well, huge difference from last year. We came in, and a lot was talked last year about I think we were 120th out of 129 teams in experience returning when you look at our football team a year ago. This year we're 10th. Which tells you a little bit about some of the guys we have coming back. For the first time since we've been here in 5 years, we have our quarterback back for a repeat year, which is nice to have, and to see the growth in Jamar just from his 2 years that he sat to what he did last year and how much he's just really matured as a football player going into his fourth year. And then having Rashid Bonnet and Adrian Hardy and the
the O'Shea Dugases and the Cody Russies and Ethan Reeds and Michael Rodriguez is up front, and on defense having Amik Robertson after his stellar performance as a freshman, to see what Daryl Lewis is doing in the secondary, Legarius Sneed, you just go to Jalen Ferguson, Keontae Gardner, Kadarian Mason, Emmanuel Turner up front on the D-line. We have a lot of guys that have played a lot of football, and that's the thing that excites me so much about this football team, because they're very talented, but coming back, the biggest thing, sometimes when you get a team like this that have so many guys coming back, you maybe don't have the focus, you don't have the intensity, but these guys feel like they have something to prove. I mean, there's been a lot made about the four bowl wins and only being a handful of teams in the country that have won four bowl games in a row. There's a lot of things that these guys have accomplished, but yet still there's been a lot of things that they feel like they've left on the table, and they have really been focused and driven and have worked incredibly hard this fall camp. I've really been impressed with the leadership, the attitude, and the mindset as we are now in week three of fall camp. And as I told the staff the other day, we haven't had our lull yet. You know what I mean? Normally in camp you get to a point where you hit a lull and you got to bring them back, but they haven't really had a lull yet. I've been really impressed with the attitude they've carried.
Well, and you talk about, you know, sometimes you go through that lull in fall camp, and we look back at, you know, the past three or four recruiting classes that you guys have been able to put together. Do you think all that talent that you guys have been able to bring in at nearly every position and really establish some depth has those guys keeping their focus, knowing that, you know, really their position could be taken on any given day?
Well, that's been the funny part, is competition's an incredible motivator. And almost every day before we go out, Jalen Ferguson will call him up and said, "You better work hard today because somebody's taking your job. I know I'm fighting to keep mine." You know what I mean? And you've got a guy with Jalen's talent. But there is an incredible amount of competition on this football team. We've talked about, like, at corner with Amik Robertson and Legarius Sneed, but I've really been impressed. Michael Sam, who sat last year as a junior college player, who was Zach Hannibal, what he's doing. Aaron Robertson. We talked about Daryl Lewis and the young guys, and Jaden Cole and Ja'Corian Andrews, James Jackson, and then you add with it the freshmen, guys like B.J. Williamson and Derek Turner. I've really been, this is the deepest team we've had at every position since I've been here. There's more competition going on. We might have had some teams that had more star power than this one coming back, but we have not had a team that has this type of depth where we feel like we have a couple guys that could play at almost every position, and that's it's an incredible motivator for everybody to stay healthy, and it's an incredible motivator for everybody to go out there and be focused and work every day.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about all the experience returning. I know this offseason you're obviously able to hire Eric Link as your 10th assistant coach. Talk about a little bit how much of a benefit it is to now have an assistant coach on the staff that will help you, that is solely focused on the special teams aspect of the game, especially when you consider losing a kicker like Jonathan Barnes that holds nearly every Louisiana Tech kicking record.
Yeah, it's hard to replace that. And, you know, I wish Coach Link could kick, and I would feel probably a little bit better knowing that I brought him in. But I've been really impressed with Bailey Hale, the transfer from Eastern New Mexico. I've been really impressed with him, and he has really had a strong camp. We've put him in a lot of pressure situations. One night we had him kick, and if he made his kick, we were going to cancel all our evening meetings. We have put him in a position where he's kicking for sprints, kicking for game winners and 2-minute drills. And I think he's got talent, but I think he's got a really strong mental makeup, and I've really been impressed with him, and I think he'll do a very nice job. But Coach Link has been a phenomenal addition, and I say phenomenal. We have always broken special teams up here, but I think Coach Link has come in, and the way that he's taken over punt and punt block and kickoff return, his attention to detail, the job that he's doing coaching and getting these young guys to really buy into the process of being a special teams player. I'm certainly looking forward to watching us put it all together by next Saturday. I mean, you start talking about it, we're 11 days away here. I mean, we're gaining on it, and I think tomorrow's 10. So I'm anxious to watch him go out and play, but right now I think there's a real excitement and energy for a lot of guys that about playing special teams, where many times guys want to play, they want to start on offense or defense, but they don't get real fired up about running down on a kickoff team. But I think we got a really good nucleus of guys that they're going to find that's their way on the bus, and that's going to be their role on Saturdays, is to be one of the Dirty Dozen or one of those special team warriors that we've got out there playing for us.
Right. Coach, let's shift over to the QB position. Let's talk a little bit about Jamar. Obviously, he had a little bit of an up-and-down season in 2017, but it's very evident that he's extremely talented. As a coach, how do you get him more consistent from play to play and drive to drive, and how has he progressed from his sophomore to junior year in your eyes?
You just have to keep building in the process. I continue to go back when Ryan Higgins played as a freshman and then sat for 2 years. And then when everybody said, who's our quarterback? And you said, Ryan Higgins. And they said, really? We can't do better than that. That's all we have. We got to go with Ryan. You know, and
Coach,
everybody
I apologize.
Was like,
that was me, too. You proved me wrong.
That was a lot of people because people watched him as a freshman. And Ryan's always had the talent. But what people didn't see is the way that Ryan Higgins got better as a sophomore and as a junior. And he had the opportunity to disappear for 2 years and then show back up and go show what he had learned. I think what we're doing is we're watching Jamar grow up in front of us. We're watching Jamar go through the process. We're watching Jamar play as a young player last year, and he did. He had some good plays and some bad plays, but where I'm seeing the biggest transition for Jamar right now is just from a mental standpoint. I think he has got great command of the offense from his knowledge, the way that he has been running the 2-minute drives so far this camp against our defense. I think he's got a really good grasp. He knows where to go with the ball. He's making protection calls. He has worked incredibly hard during this offseason. And, you know, there were a lot of good things about last year, but I think Jamar would tell you that he's more motivated than anybody because he can also see where he can improve. And I think his knowledge, I think he has lost some weight. He's running better. I think he looks really good, and I think he's really made an incredible commitment to it. And just going into his junior year, I'm really anxious to see him go out there and perform and show many of the people kind of who he is, because he came out and there was a lot of high expectations because of the way he played in the Arkansas game. But when you go play in 12 games and you get a lot of different looks, and it's week to week, and he's young. But I think right now, I think he's really excited to get out there and play, and I'm excited to watch him go show everybody how much he's matured and grown up as a football player.
And Blake Baker's defensive unit had as impressive of a finish to the 2017 season as we've seen in, you know, probably since 2014 when Manny Diaz was your defensive coordinator. Talk a little bit about that unit and just really how good they have a chance to be with, you know, I mentioned it to Beck earlier, maybe 2022 guys that you could argue could start on that side of the football.
Well, I will agree with that part of it, because there is so much depth when you look at, you know, not only when you talk about Jordan, guys like Jordan Bradford, Keontae Garner, Kadarian Mason, Emmanuel Turner are four guys that have played a lot of football for the last 3 years. And then you talk about Jalen Ferguson and Matt Yudarga and Willie Baker and some of the guys that are at defensive end. I think we've got probably one of the strongest defensive lines that we've had. When you look at this group together, I believe there are four seniors in that group, and Jordan Bradford, Keontae Garner, Emmanuel Turner, and Jalen Ferguson, and Matt Yudarga, five of them, just on the D-line. And I think those guys are bring a wealth of experience and knowledge and toughness, and they've played a lot of football. Same thing could be said of the back end. Jordan Baldwin, James Jackson, Darrell Lewis, again, Jaden Cole and Ja'Corian Andrews have been with us for a little while. A couple of the upperclassmen addition. I've been really impressed with Brandon Floyd and Connor Taylor coming in, what they can do as linebackers. And then Davon Washington, who was your all-time leading tackler, who was the leading tackler for us last year. Colin Scott, a young linebacker, is really growing up and doing some really good things. And then in the secondary, we talked earlier about Amik Robertson and just the phenomenal year he had. But the other four guys at that position right now, and Sam, Hannibal, Snead, and Robertson, that are really playing well as well. So there is a lot of depth over there. There is a lot of carryover. I think they're really taking it to another level, and that I will tell you that they can draw some stuff up and going against our defense every day. We see a lot of different looks. We see a lot of different coverages. It's been great for our offense to see all those different looks, whether it's four down, three down, one high, two high, the different coverages, man coverage. And I think they're doing a really good job of mixing up. So I think the defense has a chance, and I've really been impressed with the job that Blake Baker has done. I think he's grown as a coordinator, with this being the first time that he was a coordinator a couple of years ago, and I think defensively we've gotten better and better every year.
I agree, Coach. Last question. What are a couple of players for our fans that they may not be too familiar with that you think will make a big impact in 2018?
Well, there's going to be some names. I mean, everybody always wants to talk about the freshmen, and I think there's a couple of freshmen that have a chance. I think Smoke Harris has a chance to make a contribution this year. Wayne Toussaint can really run out on the perimeter. I really like what I've seen out of B.J. Williamson, Derek Turner, Broderick Calhoun, Stephen Shaw. There's a couple guys in there that definitely have a chance. I've always said freshmen play because upperclassmen give them a chance to. But when you look at the depth charts right now, it's pretty tough sledding to get to the top of these depth charts when you look at so many guys with this much experience. But I think all those guys have a chance to make an impact. But when you talk about players that everybody doesn't know of, I talk about Israel Tucker. That a lot of people would say, who? Exactly. I mean, he came in here 2 years ago. He had torn his ACL. He played on some special teams last year. And right now, coming out of camp, Israel Tucker right now would be our starting tailback. He's had a phenomenal camp. He's doing a really nice job. I think guys like Israel Tucker, Justin Henderson is a new guy that's coming in. You're going to hear his name quite a bit also as a tailback. Then, I like what Connor Taylor is a new face that's going to be on the defense. Brandon Floyd is a new face that's going to be on the defense. Daniel Lewis is a transfer safety that I think is going to make an impact. So I think there's a couple guys. And I mentioned him earlier as well, Bailey Hale, the kicker, who will probably handle the kicking and the kickoff duties right now from what I've seen through camp. I think there's going to be a lot of new names. I think there's 32 new faces on this team. And you mix those 32 new faces with a pretty good nucleus, not just of players, but a really good nucleus of people as well. Because as proud as I am of what they're doing as players and the way they're growing on the field and the character of this team and the way they're staying together, we had our highest academic GPA on record in the spring quarter. I think it just keeps getting better and better in the way that the program is improving in the classroom, off the field, and on the football field as well. And so really excited to see what 2018 holds with this football team.
Well, Coach, I know it's a busy time of year. We thank you for taking some time out of your day and joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. And good luck next Saturday night as y'all open the season at South Alabama.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, 10, 11 days away. I'm excited to put the ball on the tee and go play the game. Thank you.
Skip Holtz, head coach, Louisiana Tech. Bulldogs open their season next Saturday night in Mobile against South Alabama. Like you said, 32 new faces on this roster, but I think it's a roster that's extremely talented, has an opportunity to do some really good things as we go forward.
A little more optimism in his voice than our interview last year. I think, you know, last year he knew he had a tough challenge ahead of him, but this seems like a squad that could go the distance, and I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll wrap it up. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
This is Steve Brennan with Brennan Dodge. Our new used car super center is close to opening. We'll have more trucks, cars, and SUVs for you to choose from to meet any budget. Come by and see Todd Teal and check out our current specials, like a 2012 Dodge Grand Caravan for $5,900, a 14 Toyota Corolla for only $11,900, a 13 GMC Terrain SLE for only $13,900, and a 2008 Toyota Tacoma for only $15,900. These are just a few of our specials, so come by and test drive today at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home.
cooking from Scotts tonight.
Ruston West Monroe.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back in, Beck. We're here to wrap it up, and it's certainly nice to finally be able to talk some football.
I've gotten a text from you probably every day for the past 2 weeks, counting down the days till Bleed Tech Blue Radio, so it is good to be here.
It's been a long time coming. Real quick, our sponsors. We couldn't be on the air without them.
Exactly. We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse, Barbecue, and our very good friend Zach Walthall at O'Neill Gas. We thank you.
And we'd also like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. All of our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you. I mentioned a little bit earlier about week zero. And what does week zero mean? Well, I can tell you one thing. Conference USA football gets underway on Saturday. Rice has the opportunity to host Prairie View from the SWAC.
This Saturday?
Yep, this Saturday.
Four days.
My goodness. Prairie View is an opponent of Grambling, and Rice had a really tough season a year ago.
Looking to start it off easy.
Yep. They went 1-11 a year ago. Hired a new coach, Stanford offensive coordinator Mike Bloomgren. If we've watched anything with Stanford football over the years, they're going to line it up. They're going to run it right at you. Whether it's Christian McCaffrey, Bryce Love, last year. So it'll be interesting to see how the era starts off for Bloomgren. I fully expect Rice to propel to an easy victory. So next week we'll really get into more of, some first week opponents of Conference USA teams. We'll talk a little bit more, who we like to win the division. I know this week we talked a little bit about Sutton. He predicted to go 8-4. We'll make our season predictions next week. Looking at the odds from Vegas as, the favorite, Florida Atlantic's the clear favorite. Lane Kiffin, everybody loves him. I think Tech's as talented as Florida Atlantic. Now, do I think Tech has a player as good as running back Devin Singletary? Probably not. But I think Tech can compete with Florida Atlantic, who is the favorite. Marshall comes in a little bit behind them. I think their odds were plus 400, and then you have Tech at plus 800. So Tech actually has the best odds from Vegas to win the West Division. What are some of your thoughts on that? Maybe how Tech stacks up in the West against North Texas. I know the media picked North Texas to win the division. I think they got 18 of 23 votes.
What, Tech only got five?
Four, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tech's going to only get in their own way. I think North Texas is beatable. I think Tech just has to capitalize on some of those, I don't even want to call them mistakes, but just opportunities that we had last year. So, like you said earlier, that getting that win in North Texas would be huge.
Yeah, I think that's really, and you hate to say that, fourth game of the season's a must win, but if you end up losing, dropping that tiebreaker to North Texas, hard to make up some ground. So, as always, it is what it is, but you need to beat North Texas if you want to win the West Division. Next week, we've mentioned it, Tech travels to Mobile to take on South Alabama. That's a South Alabama program that I believe they finished 4-8 a year ago. Ends up firing Joey Jones. They've brought in Steve Campbell from Central Arkansas, just to kind of give a brief look at the Jaguars. Campbell did a lot of good things at Central Arkansas, winning the Southland Conference a couple of times. He's going to run really a spread offense, run and shoot type, maybe a little bit similar to Texas Tech, how they look. Now, I don't know how much they'll be able to implore that style in year one before he really gets his guys in there. I know they have a couple guys fighting for the quarterback job. Cephas Johnson, he's more of a dual threat type guy. Cole Garvin's the guy that started the game a year ago. in Rust in a game that Tech won 34-16. So next week we'll really get into South Alabama. We'll have somebody on. Last year we had J.D. Byers, the voice of the Jaguars, join us. You know, we might have him on next week. Who knows? We'll see what we can do. But all in all, I think it's a really good start for Tech to go to South Alabama. You know, not one of the better teams in the Sun Belt right now by any means, but it's tough to win on the road regardless of opponent.
Right, and the week after that, you got Southern, who we know travels well and is always a game to, you know, to open up the season, and that'll be exciting and well-attended, I'm sure. But, Ben, we've given a lot of really, really good insight information. Can you tell our listeners how they can get more of that?
Yeah, you can join us, BleedTechBlue.com. It's only $9.95 a month. You can also join us $99.95 a year.
27 cents a day, Ben. Yeah. I can find a quarter in my couch every day of the month.
Yeah, you'll need two pennies, too, but – you know, you weren't a math major. But anyways, yeah, join us, BleedTechBlue.com. Like we mentioned, I'm at nearly every practice. I think I've missed three this fall. In-depth practice reports found nowhere else. This Louisiana Tech team has a lot of excitement. The board, the message board, the Tech Drive is just booming right now. We have new members coming in every day. Don't miss out on a great opportunity. Join us, BleedTechBlue.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Bleed Tech Blue. You can follow us on Instagram at Bleed Tech Blue as well. Follow us on Facebook, Bleed Tech Blue. And, you know, one more thing before we get out of here. This is something we wanted to do that's new. Each week we're going to do the Bleed Tech Blue random fact that nobody cares about. Are you ready for this one, Ben?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In 1901, Louisiana Tech University fielded a football team for the first time. Believe it or not, the season only went three games, and the Dogs finished 1-2 overall with losses to LSU and Arkansas. But they defeated Shreveport High School. How that worked out in 1901, I'm not sure. I believe Shreveport High School is now C. Byrd High School. And get this, all three games were a shutout. All three games. LSU and Arkansas shut out the Bulldogs by a combined score of 73-0. Before the Dogs shut out Shreveport High School 11-0. How's that for a random fact you don't care about?
It's random, and I told Ben at lunch today, it's random. We don't know if it's true. No one was there to dispute that. They could call in today and tell us that's not true. So we'll just go with it. As always, a great show, Ben Carlisle. It's been
a pleasure. Absolutely, and we'll be back next week for Beck Haynes and our great producer, John Tabor. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
With Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, three out of those teams in the top nine. And this is the perfect storm, which I've been talking about, for them to get two teams in the Final Four. I said that. If you recall, when this process came out where they were coming up with the Final Four, I said the goal was to get two SEC teams in the Final Four often. This is another year where it's set up to get two powerhouse SEC teams in that final.
Things are set up, and then teams win and teams lose, and no matter how they could set this up to get two SEC teams because it's the best conference in the country, and blah blah blah. When this was set up, but who says that's going to be the case this year, next year, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now? Things change.
We got a good game early on: Notre Dame, Michigan. winner moves
Saturday,
forward.
September 1st.
Yes, big game. If Michigan wins that game, they'll probably jump. I would think they'd jump into the top 10. That would be that big of a win for Jim Harbaugh that the media, the coaches poll, that would push him up, the AP. And if Notre Dame wins, they're clearly going to go into the top 10, and Notre Dame
they
will be
Notre
off to the
races.
They
put Notre Dame in the top 10 all the time, whether they deserve it or not. But I will tell you this, Michigan's got to play Notre Dame at Notre Dame, Ohio State at Ohio State, Michigan State at Michigan State. So Michigan this year has a tough road to hoe just to get themselves 9 or 10 wins. One thing about Jim Harbaugh, he seemed to coach a lot better with Brady Hoke's players than he is his own. That's never a good sign.
And
never
the team,
a good sign.
Yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh is not a good coach. He's a very good motivator of young men, but he's going to have to go out there this year and prove it.
I think he's also a great football coach. I was just stating a fact that he seemed to be doing better with Brady Hoke's players than his own, but I will never argue that he's not a good coach.
And the team that's got a really – playing at Iowa is never easy. Iowa is the type of team at home that –